Hey there, this is Carrie Schaefer, also known as author Carrie Ann King, and you are listening to Tell Me Your Secrets, where I get to take you off the page with the people who make the books we all love to read. Tell Me Your Secrets is produced from live stream video and is owned and copyrighted by Authors on the Air Global Radio Broadcasting Network. Hey everybody, Carrie Ann King here today with another edition of Tell Me Your Secrets, brought to you by Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, with all of the awesome shows that they have available. I am just so happy to see this lovely garden behind me today. So my thanks to Barbara for writing a book with a garden in it, which just lit me up actually when I first encountered Barbara's awesome book. And I began reading and I discovered there's this kind of forgotten garden, and it made me think about when I was a kid and I read The Secret Garden. And there was another book that I read like that as a child, I can't remember the name of. And I love that idea of a garden being the setting for a story. Plus, which, you know, we have wonderful characters and beautiful growth arcs. And Barbara is a friend and a really interesting, wonderful, fun person. So I am super excited to welcome Barbara Josselson to the show today. And I'm just going to bring her right on here right now. Hi, Barbara.
Hello. I'm so glad to be here. I'm really excited and I'm just loving your background, Carrie. Gorgeous.
It's like more so, especially since I was telling Barbara before we came on, I'm living in the middle of drought where I am. So everything's like all super dry and yeah. So I love the, you know, sitting here with the garden thing, which is just fun and lovely. Oh, we have Diana's here to join us. And she said, hi, I'm reading The Lily Garden now. Awesome. Oh, you're going to love it, I know. So a little bit more about Barbara. She is a writer, as obviously, because she's here. And this is book number 4 for you in total, correct?
Yes, that's right, number 4.
Yeah, so it's number 3 in Lake Summers.
Right, exactly.
But there was another book before that that's a little bit different, but still wonderful. And then in addition to that, I know that you have done some other things. So I'm looking at your bio and I'm seeing that you have written articles and essays that have been in the New York Magazine, Parents Magazine, the New York Times, Westchester Magazine, Working Mother, The Next Avenue. That's a lot of like really cool places to get your words.
I really, for a long time, I was more of a nonfiction writer. I think I was, I had taken a fiction writing class in college and got very intimidated by the other students and decided I needed to do nonfiction for a while.
Oh, no.
And actually nonfiction writing was wonderful. And I started as a journalist and I moved into essay writing. And it's very similar. I just writing about my life. And right. I wrote pieces about my kids when they were little and my family and, you know, just kind of slice of life things.
Right. And, which really helps you develop a great eye for details and learn to stick to deadlines and do word counts and all of those things. But I am going to take you back. So the writing class. So it was intimidating. Was it, you know, because here's the thing, like I think all of us, as we're coming up as writers, we dream of this perfect writing class that we're going to get to sit down and have these wonderful conversations that are inspiring and creative and have this marvelous professor. And
right.
It doesn't necessarily work out that way. So is that what happened for you?
Yeah, you know, I think that I was in a class of people who weren't interested in writing the kinds of stories I liked to write.
That makes a difference.
I think that I was intimidated because I think that my preference, you know, I like love stories and I like family stories.
And were they all very serious?
Very, yeah, much more and wonderful in their own way.
Oh,
but
yes.
wasn't in my space. So I got serious writer's block for a while.
I can relate to that. My one, all my life, I wanted to do a writing class, and I finally went back to school and I signed up for creative writing, and the professor that I had wanted, it was Michael Ondaatje, by the way, that I thought I was going to get to study with. He was writing The English Patient at the time, so he was on sabbatical. So I got a teacher who didn't really like me and who I didn't like. And when I finally got my grade, it was like something like, I've given you an A, even though I didn't really want to.
Right, these formative moments that I know, it was hard. I kind of had serious writer's block, which is funny because as a journalist you can't have
writer's block as a journalist.
But in college you kind of can, and I was so intimidated that it really took me. And it was a very loosey-goosey kind of thing, like you were just supposed to write and submit. And I just couldn't bring myself to submit until, like, I got to a point where I was like, I better submit something, or I'm not, you know, I can't just not do anything. And so, you know, I just couldn't wait to be out of that class and, you know, go find wherever I felt like more that I could really, you know, be more confident.
And, right.
It turned out to be the nonfiction classes.
And I'm so glad that you persisted and found your way to writing novels again. Also, another thing that Barbara does, people, is that she teaches writing. And I'm going to guess that as a writing teacher, you are very warm and accommodating and helpful and make up for that bad experience that you had.
I think that's true. I think I just know what that was like. But I really, you know, I've really developed my, you know, I really love stories, and I love seeing stories form. You know what I mean? Like I like babies, I like puppies, and I like, you know, outlines. I mean, I like things that are on the brink of becoming, and I like to watch documentaries about famous people before they became famous. I think I just really like thinking about how things begin. And so I love teaching because I love seeing, you know, the very first steps of a story that is going to become wonderful and really exciting to me. And so, you know, that's really fun. And a couple of people have really ended up turning out just wonderful stories and articles and novels. And it's, you know, I just love to be like, I knew her when, and I knew that piece when it was just an idea. I really enjoy that. So
And what a wonderful thing for your students to have access to that kind of enthusiasm and encouragement and helping things grow, which is going to lead us to gardening in a minute, because you like to grow things. But we have to talk about the book before we forget, because, you know, we get all carried away and down my little rabbit holes, as I do. I forgot we were moving around before we started, you guys, because Barbara had weird light in her house for you know, some reason. So did you happen to bring a copy of the book
Ended up? This is, here it is, the lily
garden. The cover, there we go, there. The lily garden. For those of you who are just listening, this is a beautiful cover which you should look up. And I also forgot to ask if you would be willing to, like, read the first page for us.
Oh, I would love to. There's actually a spot I like to read, not quite the first page.
I will allow you to pick your own spot.
And not only did I bring the covers, but somehow miraculously I brought my glasses too.
Very good.
Otherwise we'd be in trouble. But this is in the beginning of the book, and it's kind of a nice reflection. I can kind of just give a little bit of a context, which is that Caroline, my heroine, had left the place where she grew up when she was young because her parents had died. And there were things that she ended up with an aunt who she never knew before, who never knew her before, or that she even existed. And that's where she ended up really growing up. And now she's coming back because she's heard that the garden her mother had created, that she would help garden, is about to be destroyed. And so the idea, she hasn't really thought about it for so long, but now the idea of going back is making her remember all kinds of memories that she hasn't thought about before. She's in an office. She works for her family business. She has colleagues. She's efficient. But this whole other piece of her has been kind of tamped down. So she's just learned that the garden's about to be destroyed. So I'm just going to.
What a great reason to bring somebody home. Like usually we do, you know, the parent is dying, the job is lost, the life is all falling apart. So we must go home. And these are things I've used. So I can talk about them like that. But you use this call of a garden being like, to me, that's like, oh my God, they're going to tear up my garden. Of course I'm going home. That would be an instant. So sorry about
and
that.
And the garden that her mother gave to the, because it was the garden her mother gave to the town.
Her
adopted home.
In summer. So, all right, let's have you read.
Okay. So here it is. Her mother's name was Lily Howard. So she's thinking about, because she's just seen the article refer to her mother. Lily Howard, even after all these years, it was strange to see her mother's name in print. Ghostly, like a phrase from a storybook she'd forgotten long ago, or a sound she'd heard when she was fast asleep, so she didn't even know if it was real or not. She'd been only in second grade when her mother died, but she never forgot all the long afternoons they'd spent together in the garden. The recollections weren't so much stories as flashes, images, her mother in those old denim overalls and dirty kid sneakers, her brown ponytail shiny like a fancy ribbon on a birthday present. Her smile, the way her two front teeth would rest slightly on her bottom lip, making her look a little mischievous, especially when it would rain and she'd pretend it wasn't so she could continue gardening. What rain? It's a sunny day, my sweet Caroline. She remembered the dirt squiggles and smears that always appeared on her mother's forehead and chin. And she remembered the afternoon it started to rain as her dad showed up and he picked her up her mom and spun her around. She'd watched her mom throw her head back and laugh as her dad held her and twirled her around and around under the early fall rain shower. Caroline, came a voice from the doorway and she jumped, sending a geyser of coffee upward from her mug. She spotted Will in the doorway just as she felt a splash. And when she looked down, a grayish brown splotch was smack on the front of her pale blue sheath dress. Oh no, she said, cupping the bottom of the mug with her free hand to prevent any additional drops from landing on her. Oh, shoot. Let me help, Will said, striding into her office, his legs so long that he covered the distance to her desk in two steps. He reached over her desk and took the cup. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to scare you. Oh, boy, she said as she spot took on a yellowish green tint. No, it wasn't your fault. It's mine. I'm such a klutz. This is why I never wear light colors. I only did today because of the lunch. It was a special event, the luncheon, recognizing her aunt as the longest serving female CEO in the industry. The whole management team was going. Will snapped a few tissues out of the box on the desk and handed her one. He used the others to wipe down her cup. She patted her dress with the tissue. It's not that big, right? He tilted his head apologetically. It's kind of big. Maybe if I go to the ladies' room and put some water on it. What? No, he said, that's linen, isn't it? You have to check the label. If it's dry clean only, that might make it worse. She sighed. The irony wasn't lost on her, that she was the one who'd been born into a textiles family, while he had only joined it a year ago, and yet she didn't even know what fabric her dress was made of. And I'll stop it.
That's beautiful writing. I love the detailed description of her mother and the memory, and then the sudden transition back to the not so awesome reality.
Right. Push out of water where she
I is. Never buy anything white because it will have coffee or chocolate on it before the day is over. That's inevitable.
Absolutely. You know, whatever it is, it's going to end up on my white dress or my white shirt.
Definitely. Absolutely. So let us, this is a transition to gardens, because I know your Lake Summers books all have a flower theme, and the next one that you're writing is about a plant. And so I have to ask, are you a gardener? Do you garden?
You know, I don't, but I love gardens, and I find, I spend a lot of time at the New York Botanical Garden, which is a beautiful garden here in the Bronx in New York. And every season is different. And, you know, the the lilacs and then the roses and even in the winter. So I enjoy it. And they kind of, you know, I'm kind of moved by the memories of gardens, but I'm not a gardener myself. And actually I have a very good friend who advises me, who's my consultant. And when I was, you know, I was just writing and I was really imagining this garden, and it was so much fun in the gardening. And I would show her pieces and she would kind of be like, you know, no, they don't grow from seeds. They grow from bulbs, and you don't plant that in the spring. You plant it in the fall. It's like, yipes.
Well, thank goodness for people who are willing to offer up advice, right? Yeah,
exactly.
I love to see things grow. I just, I kill things. It's like we always have little jokes about our house when we buy plants and we bring them home. I'll say, it's okay, I'm not going to be the one taking care of you. And the Viking will say, get away from those plants, I will save you. I will, yeah.
Because oh, that's so funny. That's really funny. I'm not sad either.
I've tried, but nope. Yeah. Diana would like to know if you have a potted plant.
I have a few. I do. I don't even know what they are. I just know that I find them pretty. But I actually have a potted plant in our living room that's as old as we've been here. You know,
wow.
Which is like over 20 years. And somehow we've just stuck together. You know, it just hangs on, and I just, you know, do what I can, and it's committed to this house. And it's very hardy. That's for sure.
I love that. That's really wonderful. It's committed to the house. It's like your guardian plant.
It is, right? Yeah. We get a lot of sun on my deck, and I always try to put like hanging plants, like gorgeous, and they always look, and I finally have decided it's not my fault. It's the sun, because because I hang them up, and within a week and it doesn't matter how much rain we've had, because just the sun angle, even for a few hours. So those, I always like keep my fingers crossed. And if I could just get through like right now, like end of July, I'll consider the season a success. I got them to hang in there, those flowers.
It's so funny because this is kind of a secret, so you're almost off the hook, because I had envisioned you as being, you know, like Master Gardener Barbara.
That's hysterical. I am. Yeah, no, I can't even pretend.
So wait, I do have another secret for you with Barbara, and I found this really fun because she's a romance writer, although not really that kind of romance. But Barbara, tell us about your former profession before you began, you know, writing things.
You know, it is really, there is a connection, isn't there? But I was a journalist for a long time, and my beat, you know, I was a business magazine, and it was about retailing, and my beat was the mattress industry. So
you have to say what you told me backstage. I
know everything there is to know about mattresses. I'm the world's biggest mattress expert.
There you go.
Everything about a mattress. I lived and breathed mattresses. I went to mattress factories. I went to quilting factories. I saw the fabrics. I saw how it all comes together. I would interview, you know, every Sealy, Serta, Simmons, blah, 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 all of them. And
why do they all start with S's?
You know, it's just a coincidence. I know it doesn't, but what's not a coincidence is when they end with pedic, right? Like sort of pedic, because that really is, you know, has to do with the, you know, the trying to make it healthy. And, you know, that's a portion of a word that, you know, is supposed to mean something. But yeah, right. I mean, that's all just coincidence. Simmons, Serta, Sealy, there. But I visited them all, and the thing that, and I was real, and I loved it. I actually really enjoyed it. But the thing that got me decide that I had to get out of that business was one night when I dreamed all night long that I built a mattress. And the dream was 8 hours long, and I started with the wood, and I was hammering, and the springs, and the padding, and it was heavy, and I was carrying things. And when I woke up that morning, my arms were tired.
Oh, no.
I felt like I had really spent the whole last 8 hours building a mattress. And that's when I decided that I probably needed to take a step away, because I was just too involved with that business. And but I remember that. I remember being exhausted when I woke up. I must have been like, you know, doing it in my sleep. But anyway,
oh, that's so funny. In the summers when I was a teenager, I used to pile lumber. This is the kind of girl that, yeah. So the first week, and this is connected to your mattress story. The first week every summer, I would try and sleep, and all that would happen was there would be lumber going by. And I, you know, so I finally learned if I burned down the mill.
That's so fun. Exactly.
Then it would stop.
That's hysterical. Oh, and my God.
I'm sure this led to some of my twisted sort of.
Right. You're right. Well, the thing also with, I would go to trade shows with mattress, you know, mattress trade shows. And then there were, you know, back then there were waterbed shows. And crazy.
Oh, my gosh. So,
and, you know, they would want you as a reporter to really get into the bed and kind of feel it and you know, and make comparisons and stuff. And I, you know, of course, in the very beginning, I was very nervous, like who just jumps around into beds? And usually there was a male salesperson, sometimes a female, there were a lot of males somehow, who would like be there saying, see how it feels.
That's creepy.
Really weird. But you know, it was weird for maybe a week. And then I'm telling you, I got so used to it. I would go from bed to bed. I would throw my shoes off, climb into the bed, curl up in my favorite position. I was not embarrassed at all. And I just got so used to it. So maybe, you know, there is a comfort level.
You are missing an opportunity, or I may steal it from you, because this is the sort of weird twisted thing that I like to write, where I would want to take a main character and make her be that person, and then have their, yeah, bring in the romance component, you know, like, yeah like,
I mean, it's really,
she's the bed expert. And whenever she sleeps with somebody, it's what she checks out is like, what kind of mattress is this? And, you know, I don't know.
Isn't that, yeah, right? Isn't that, that's true, right? It's kind of a weird, but we all have had weird, you know, weird jobs, summer jobs. But yeah, that was really a,
oh, that's fun. I like it. That's cool.
You know, and it was like, you know, I could tell like, oh, this must have, you know, 254 springs and they're wrapped, they're, you know, pocketed coils or, you know, I don't know. I knew it all.
Seriously, this is really fun. I like this. Okay, so here's another secret, and you cannot answer this if you choose not to. So Donna would like to know, can you tell me the brand of mattress that you have?
I'm happy to tell you that. That's so funny. Although I don't really, you know, from, I okay. Yes. I am a Tempur-Pedic girl. I really do like the feel of it, but that's kind of very, you know, we would try to figure out how many, you know, you would try, like, latex is bouncy and memory foam is like quicksand, and springs are like more buoyant. I don't know. There is a difference between the different ones, and you know, I don't know. Or you could, so anyway, so that sinking quicksand feel is what you get from a memory foam mattress. And
what we went for at our house lately is the sinking quicksand feeling. Kind of. Here's a fun one. Do you ever go in a friend's house and lay on their bed? Diana wants to know.
So funny. I don't do that, but I will tell you that, you know, I had a boss and I was the reporter. He had other things, but he used to have my job, and we always used to talk about how when we would go into hotels, like we were the only, we would lift up the sheets and we would tear everything off to see what brand it was. Cause it was really interesting to know what, and sometimes they would hide the brand, you know, they would make it like the hotel brand or whatever. So we would really like be turning the mat. And I used to do that all the time. I would go to a hotel room. First thing would rip off the sheets, rip off the blankets, rip off the comforter and try to figure out so I could see, you know, what brand of mattress this, this brand, this hotel was carrying. And it was just like an obsession, you know.
This is just so fun. And if you've joined us late, I do need you to know that we're speaking with Barbara Josselson about the Lily Garden, and the books that she writes has nothing to do with mattresses, except for that, well, there's a little bit of romance, but it's kind of a little off the screen-ish for the most part. So we're not getting into beds, just so you know. Let's talk about Lake Summers a little bit real quick, because I love the small town. I love books where an author creates a town like that and then continues to bring us back. So how was that for you? How did you come up with creating a whole little place and microcosm of the world like that?
You know, my Lake Summers is kind of an amalgam of vacation places that I've gone to. We didn't have a summer house. We would just, you know, when I was growing up, or even when I was, you know, when I had kids and a family of my own, we would go to different places. But the place that is that stuck with me is Kennebunkport, Maine, which we just kind of happened upon. And we would rent a house there that we came back to year after year. And I guess Lake Summers sort of came about with my first book in the series, The Lilac House, which I happen to have here too, The Lilac.
Oh, lovely.
And that book is, you know, it's really about, well, the main character is a mother who's recently lost her husband, and he was a very popular state senator, and they had a good, strong marriage. And now she has two children, one who's, I guess her son's 13 and her daughter's 10. So young kids who she's trying to help through their grief while really not completely over her own grief at the loss. And they come to say, so I found that that most of my best memories of Kennebunkport were when my kids were just about that age. I mean, I have a third one, so you know, she's kind of got mushed in with the two characters in the book, but just that feeling of being somewhere really wonderful and the weather's good and the beach is beautiful and you're kind of watching your children becoming who they're going to be. One is 10, so she's on the verge of pre-adolescence. The other one's just on the verge of, you know, true teenagehood, and just kind of, and I used to always feel that for me, summer was when my kids grew. You know, they grew physically. Like I could actually see it, you know, it just the fresh air and the good food or whatever, the exercise, and they kind of became new people between the end of June and the beginning of September. And so that was also close to me I mean, I know you have a son. I don't know if you had the same. Maybe that's just a very unique experience, but I really felt summer was so formative every year. And so, you know, that was just so close to me. And I just felt so close to this, you know, and so all the memories of those summers kept coming back to me. And it really felt I was so at home when I was in that place. And I just loved it. And as I, you know, started working with my editor, who, you know, you kind of, I didn't know how far to go with the town. And she was just, go all, you know, show us. We want to meet the people. We want to. And I was like, great, you know. So I just, you know, I can visually see it. And, you know, I kind of just found people who from different, you know, who I wanted to put in there. And I really, really, I just love, and during the pandemic, I just love being back in that town, you know, just going there and just being part of a summer community. It's so it's just with each book, I've tried to keep some. I mean, all the books are standalone books. I guess I should say that the books are all standalone books, and the main characters and their stories are all separate. So you don't have to read one to read the other. But a lot of the secondary characters kind of come back.
Yeah.
And I usually like to introduce one new secondary character or develop a secondary character from an earlier book a little bit further in the new book. So I am, it really feels like home to me. And I hope, and I think, and I've heard that that it feels a little bit like that to readers too.
Yeah. And that's such a lovely thing. And they're such beautiful, thoughtful books. And there's romance, and there's a lovely in the Lily Garden, there's also a mother-daughter relationship that needs some attention on several levels, actually. So it's right. Part women's fiction, it's part romance. It's a beautiful read. So what's next is a quick question. We're running out of time, but we do want to talk about that because I know you have another one in the works. So what's it called?
I don't have a title yet.
I thought you did. I'm sorry.
It's not quite ready yet. Okay. Not quite definite, but it is a winter book. It's releasing in December, and it's set in Christmas time, which is very different from the other books, which are kind of summer, spring, or summer fall kind of books. Right. And what I'm really enjoying about writing this book is, like you said, the Lily Garden has a mother daughter, you know, relationship, and the next one has a father daughter.
Oh, that's fun.
And a woman, again, I've got a woman who's got a young son, and she's kind of trying to work through some of her own issues with her father that they had never resolved, but that things are happening now. I can tell you, it's they own a small inn in Lake Summers.
It's just
family business.
So that gives us something to look forward to also going forward. So and one more question, and this is important, is where can people find you? So we need to talk about that. If you are listening and you can't see what we've written, Barbara's name is spelled Barbara, B-A-R-B-A-R-A, and Josselson is J-O-S-S-E-L-S-O-H-N.
Yes.
So if you're trying to find her website, then it becomes a little tricky.
Yeah.
To try and get the spelling right. So the easiest thing is probably to find you on Facebook or Instagram to start.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm really active on Instagram. I'm active on Facebook. That's really where I spend a lot of time. Right. I just love to hear from people and talk to readers. It's just really wonderful. So just, you know, reach out. Anybody can reach out, or if you go on my website, reach me that way.
Right. And the website is Barbara Solomon Josselson. Yeah. So
that's a more confusing.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It makes it easy, actually, because you're then not confused with any other Barbara Josselson.
I don't think there's many of those.
No, probably not. So again, the website is just www.barbarasolomonjosselson.com/. So you can do a search. Google will help you out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think even if you put the H in different places, it'll
come up. Yeah. Uh-huh. Even if you forget it, it'll still come up for you. Diana says one last comment. It can get hot in a Christmas book if you write it right. LOL.
Yeah, it does get a little hot.
So
you know, there's lots of mattresses in that place.
I love them. I'm sorry about the mattress thing. It's just it tweaked my funny bone. I love stuff like that. How fun. Mm-hmm. So that was just great. Thank you so much for being here and for writing lovely books for us all to read.
Oh, I really enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
I will be back, I believe, next week. You know, I always forget to look and see who my guest is so that I can tell you to look out. But you know what? We'll be here. Same time. Come and join us. And I don't know. Is there anything else we need to tell them, Barbara? Anything else that you would like to say that we have not?
I have known Carrie, gotten to know her a little bit more these last few months, and I adore her, and I adore her writing. So
thank you.
Okay. And you've got a book coming out and another book in the works and a book that just came out.
Well, it's Carrie Ann King. Other People's Things is coming out September 21. And I'm going to be talking about that a little more probably coming up because, well, you know, authors when their book baby is coming out. So, and I'm writing one, yes, in a small town. So thank you for helping me figure things out about that. So thank you again, Barbara. You're just lovely. Thank you for being here. Join us again next week. Take care.
Bye. Thank you.